in order to convey to mankind such knowledge which gives them a clear and intelligible conviction of the working of God in his justice and love, I have written the work in the light of truth, which leaves no gap, contains the answer to every question, and clearly shows to mankind how wonderful are the ways in creation that are upheld by many servants of his will. But God alone is holy. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. Good evening and welcome to Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on a work in the light of truth, the Grail Message. The Grail Message is a new spiritual revelation of the truth given to mankind by the author Abrushin. It explains the will of God, which manifests as the adamantine and incorruptible laws of creation. This message does not bring a new religion and is intended as a torch to guide all serious seekers to the light and their longed for height, which is paradise. It is addressed to earnest seekers only, for only such shall find. I am Dr. Tunde Agboola. A reading from the Grail Message is now brought to you. The author of the Grail Message says, and I quote, continuing the lecture, once upon a time, we must at last learn to differentiate between the spirit and the intellect, the vital core of man and his tool. When this tool is placed above the living core, as it has hitherto been, the result will be something unsound, which even at its inception must bear within it the germ of death, and thereby the vital, the highest and most valuable part is constricted, bound and cut off from its necessary action, until in the inevitable collapse of the lifeless structure, it rises free but incomplete from the ruins. Instead of once upon a time, let us now picture to ourselves the question, what was it like in former times? How different is the effect? The great difference is immediately perceived. The first question speaks to the intuition, which is linked with the spirit. But the second question is directed to the intellect, and entirely different pictures emerge. From the outset, they are limited, cold, without warmth of life, because the intellect has nothing else to give. From the very beginning, however, mankind's greatest guilt has lain in placing this intellect, which can produce only what is incomplete and without life, on a high pedestal and virtually dancing around it in worship. It was given a place that should have been reserved for the spirit alone. This action is entirely opposed to the ordinances of the Creator and thus to nature, because these are anchored in what takes place in nature. Therefore, nothing can lead to a true goal either. But everything must fail at the point where the harvest is due to set in. It cannot be otherwise, but is a natural happening that is to be expected. Only in purely technical science, in all industry, is it different. This has reached great heights through the intellect and will even advance much further in the future. This fact, however, serves to prove the truth of my explanations. Technical science in all its aspects is and will always remain purely earthly, lifeless. Now, since the intellect likewise belongs to all that is earthly, it is able to develop brilliantly in these technical sciences, can accomplish really great things. Here it stands in its right place, in its real task. But wherever anything living, thus purely human, has to be considered as well, the intellect by its nature is not adequate, and must therefore fail if it is not then guided by the Spirit. For Spirit alone is life. Success of a specific kind can always be achieved only by the activity of the homogeneous kind. The earthly intellect will therefore never be able to do spiritual work. For this reason, placing the intellect above life has become the grave offense of this mankind. Contrary to the creative, thus holy natural ordinance, man has therewith directly reversed his task and has, so to speak, turned it upside down by yielding the supreme place that belongs to the living spirit to the intellect, which comes in the second and purely earthly place. Through this, it is again quite natural for man now to be obliged painfully to seek from below upwards, whereby the superimposed intellect, with its limited capacity to comprehend, obstructs any broader view, instead of his being able to look down from above through the Spirit. If he wishes to awaken, he is compelled first to transpose the light, to put the intellect, which is now above, in the place given to it by nature, and restore the Spirit to the supreme position. This necessary transposition is no longer easy for the man of today. The change of order that men introduced in bygone times so incisively directed against the will of the Creator, thus against the laws of nature, was the actual fall of man, the consequences of which cannot be more terrible. For in due course, it developed into inherited sin, because the elevation of the intellect to the position of sole ruler is wake the natural consequence that, in the course of time, such one-sided cultivation and activity also strengthen the brain one-sidedly, so that only the part which has to do the work of the intellect grew bigger, and the other part was bound to become stunted. Thereby, the part that has become stunted through neglect can operate today only as an unreliable dream brain. Even then, being still under the powerful influence of the so-called day brain, which activates the intellect. Thus, the part of the brain which should form the bridge to the spirit, or rather the bridge from the spirit to everything earthly, is thereby paralyzed. A connection is broken, or at least very much loosened, whereby man has cut off for himself all spiritual activity, and with it also the possibility of animating, spiritualizing, and inspiring his intellect. Both parts of the brain should have been developed absolutely equally. For joint harmonious activity, like everything in the body, the spirit leading and the intellect carrying out here on earth. It is obvious, because of this, all the activity of the body too, and even the body itself, can never be what it should be. For naturally, what has taken place affects everything. Because the most essential factor for all earthly things is thereby missing. It is easy to understand that the cutting off was simultaneously linked with the withdrawal and estrangement from the divine. Indeed, there was no longer any way to it. Finally, this in turn had the disadvantage that already for thousands of years, owing to the ever-increasing hereditary factor, every child's body that is born brings with it to the earth the frontal intellectual brain so large that from the outset, and because of this condition, each child is again readily submitted to the intellect the moment this brain develops its full activity. The gulf between the two parts of the brain has now grown so wide and their functions so proportionately unequal that with the majority of all mankind, an improvement can no longer be achieved without catastrophe. The intellectual man of today is no longer a normal human being. He lacks any development of the principal part of his brain that belongs to the complete human being, because he has allowed it to become stunted for thousands of years. Without exception, every intellectual has only a crippled normal brain. Therefore, brain cripples have been ruling the earth for thousands of years. They regard the normal human being as an enemy and seek to subjugate him. In their crippled condition, they imagine that they accomplish a great deal, and they do not know that the normal human being is in a position to achieve 10 times as much, producing works of a permanent nature which are more perfect than the present efforts. The way is open to every really serious seeker to acquire this ability. An intellectual, however, will no longer so easily become able to grasp something that belongs to the activity of this stunted part of his brain. He is simply incapable of it, even if he should desire it. And solely because of his voluntary restriction, he ridicules everything that he is unable to attain, and which, owing to his really retarded, not normal brain, will never at any time be understood by him either. Just herein lies the most terrible part of the cause of this unnatural aberration. The harmonious cooperation of both parts of the human brain that absolutely belongs to a normal human being is definitely impossible for the present-day intellectuals who are called materialists. To be a materialist is really no recommendation, but evidence of a stunted brain. Thus, the unnatural brain has hitherto ruled on this earth, and finally, its activity must obviously also bring about the inevitable collapse in all things, since everything, no matter what it wishes to produce, naturally contains discord and ill health, even from the very start, owing to the stunting. Nothing of this can now be changed anymore. But one must calmly let the naturally developing collapse come about. Then, however, will be the day of resurrection for the spirit, and also for a new life. The slave of the intellect, who has held the reins for thousands of years, will thus be disposed of forever. Never again will he be able to arise, because the evidence and his own experience will finally compel him voluntarily to submit at last, healed and spiritually impoverished, to that which he was unable to grasp. Never again will he be given the opportunity to oppose the spirit, either by scoffing or by the semblance of right through imposing force, such as was also used towards the Son of God, who had to fight against it. Then there would still have been time to avert such misery. But now it is too late. For in the meantime, the losing connection between the two parts of the brain can no longer be bridged. Many intellectuals will again try to ridicule the explanations in this lecture. But except for empty platitudes, they will be unable to present even one really objective counter-argument. Yet, any serious seeker and thinker will have to take such blind zeal simply as fresh proof of what I have set forth herein. However hard they try, it is impossible for these people. Let us therefore regard them from now on as sick persons who will soon be in need of help. And let us calmly await the time. No struggle and no act of violence are needed to enforce the necessary progress, for the end will come of itself. Here too, through the immutable laws of all reciprocal actions, the natural course of events will take effect quite inexorably and also punctually. Then, according to various prophecies, a new generation shall arise. However, this will not only be made up of the newly born, such as are now already observed in California and also in Australia, to be endowed with a new sense, but mainly of people already living, who, in the near future, will become seen through the many impending events. They will then possess the same sense as those now newly born. For this is nothing more than the ability to stand in the world with an open and unrestrained spirit, no longer allowing itself to be suppressed by the limitation of the intellect. Inherited sin will thereby be eliminated. But all this has nothing to do with what has been hitherto described as occult faculties. It is then simply the normal man as it should be. To become seen has nothing to do with clairvoyance, but signifies insight, recognition. Men will then be in the position to observe everything impartially, which means nothing else than to assess. They will see the intellectual man as he really is, with the limitations so dangerous to himself and his environment, in which there simultaneously arise the arrogant lust for power and the disputing that is actually part of it. They will also see how, with strict consistency, all humanity has suffered under this yoke in one form or another for thousands of years, and how this cancerous sore, as the hereditary enemy, has always been directed against the development of the free human spirit, which is the main object in human existence. Nothing will escape them, also not the bitter certainty that affliction, all suffering, and every downfall were bound to come about through this evil, and that there could never be any betterment, because from the start all insight was ruled out owing to the limitation of the perceptive capacity. But with this awakening, all influence, all power of these intellectuals has ceased for all time. For then begins a new and better epoch for mankind, in which the old can no longer survive. End of quote. Just listen to a reading from the Grail Message. This is Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on the word truth, the Grail Message. Copies of the Grail Message can be obtained on Grail Land, Iju Hills, Lagos, Grail Centers, Grail Information Centers nationwide, and also at major bookshops. Public lectures are also organized from time to time. We are cordially invited to public lectures based on the Grail Message. Date, Sunday, 14th September, 2014. Venue of lecture, Grail Center, 129B Akomojo Road, Kwara Bus Stop, Akomojo, Lagos. Topic: This Tumultuous World, What Lies Behind It? Time of lecture, 4 p.m. Also, on Sunday, 14th of September, 2014, another lecture comes up. Venue of lecture, Continuous Education Center, Lecture Hall, University of Nigeria, Nsukka. The topic is based on a Grail Message. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. And on Sunday, 14th September, 2014, venue of lecture, Town Hall in Okaki, River State. The topic is based on a Grail Message and the time 4 p.m. At the lectures, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. We enter the interactive segment of this program. Genuine seekers who wish to interact with us, the telephone numbers to call are 0705-298-0298. Again, 0705-298-0298 or 0805-944-1123. 0805-944-1123. And for your text messages, 0033-315-7493. Let's make some announcements of Grace Centers. In Enugu, the Grace Center is on Old Airport Road, opposite Ekochin Hospital, Emene, Enugu. In Bayelsa, there's a Grace Center in Yenagoa, that is Grail Information Center, Tombia Amasoma Road by Ziak Hotel, Itegwe. In Aba, Grace Center is Kilometer 5, New Humahia Road, Umhocho, Ogwo Hill, Aba. And in Benin, the Grace Center in Benin is Grey Acres, Edgar, kilometer 10, Benin Siluko Road in Benin. In Oweri, 35 American Alumni Street, Prefab Housing Estate in Oweri. Okay, we make more announcements. Let's take some text messages here. Somebody asked, is fasting relevant for a Christian? All right, we answer that after taking this call from Okonkwo in Badagry. Hello, Okonkwo.
Hello.
Yeah.
Please, I want to know how the courses work.
What is?
Sometimes, like your wife, when you're having an argument, she will busy cursing you, you will die, or you will not do this. Please, I want to know how the courses, set of courses, that works like that.
Okay. Now, the human word also has power in it. A reflection, a faint reflection of the power inherent in the word of God, a faint reflection of it is also in the human word. Through the composition of the word, through the tone and through the sound, creative forces are set in motion, which can work constructively or destructively. So the human word also has power in it, in which how the words are arranged, the tone that is used, the sound that is used, it can release creative forces. We can be constructive or destructive. Now, when these forces are released, either through the so-called curse, it will go to the person it is directed at. But whether it will now affect the person or it will not affect the person is a matter that stands all on its own. It depends on how the person that is supposed to be the target of this curse stands. How does he stand? Is he himself enveloped by what is dark through his own activity? Then, in accordance with the law of homogeneity, it will affect him. Or is he standing in a circle of light because he's doing what is good? Then it will not. However, the producer of this cause or of these forces will also, in the end of time, at least it must return to him in accordance with law of reciprocal action. He will return to him heavily laden, because what you sow is what you reap. So that's how it is. Okay, another call here from Godwin in River State. Obi Ako. Eh? Obi Ako, okay. Are you there, Godwin?
Yeah, I'm there.
Good evening. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yeah, my question is that, I have seen a word in the dictionary, and so many people say, you know, it's fatalism.
What is the question?
Fatalism. Hello?
What is the question?
Hello?
Yes, we are hearing you. We are on air.
Yeah. Okay. I think, do we as a Christian, should we believe on fatalism?
Of what is it? What is it that you should believe in? What is it? Say it again.
That is a universal belief that all, that is every activity of man is divine control.
Is what? Every activity of man is what?
Divinely controlled.
Oh, divinely controlled.
The spirit or negative spirit.
Okay. Alright. Let's try and explain. Every activity of man is not divinely controlled. Listen to the radio for the response. Every activity of man is not divinely controlled. It is not so. It's not that man is just at the mercy of chance or whatever it is that the Lord willed him to do, that's what he must do. That is not correct. Man, as a spiritual being, has the ability to make a decision. to make a free decision. It is in the making of that free decision that the consequences must come to him. That is how the Lord has designed it. So man is the architect of his own fate. What you sow is what you reap. That is the meaning. If every activity of man is divinely controlled, then what you sow is not what you will reap. But that is not so. Whatever it is you sow, you must reap, because you are the ones who have put it in creation, and that is also what you must reap. All right, Joe is calling from Giwa, Okiaru. Please lower the volume of your radio set, Joe.
I'm answering.
Lower the volume of your radio set.
Okay.
All right, go on.
All right, sir. I want to ask, how does the existence in this world?
How does what?
And what happened? How things is going on human being now? And is it true that the world is coming to an end?
All right. Now, what we are experiencing in creation today is nothing but the effect of the long prophesied final judgment, whereby everything man has done since the time he was created, in his thoughts, in his words, and his deeds, everything is now rolling back to the originator, irrespective of when he has done it, inasmuch as he has not yet reaped the consequences. That is the reason why we are experiencing what we are experiencing now. Because in the judgment, all that man has done, that he has not yet reaped, the cycles are closing very, very fast. As one cycle is closing, the next is closing. So all are returning. But because for the most part, human beings have been creating evil, either in thoughts, words, and deeds. That is why we are expressing evil now. Because these are the consequences. What you sow is what you reap. So it is also a period to allow any seriously seeking soul to also know that what we are seeing is what is seen is fellow men already experiencing now. It will also come to his own turn. It will spur the genuinely seeking soul to move, to search for what is the real essence of life. Why are we here? And it's for this reason a new message has come. It is the great message, but it is addressed only to those who are genuinely seeking. All right, Collins is calling from Ikorodu. Hello, Collins.
Hello.
Good evening.
I want to ask, what is the right way to meditate?
Right way to do what?
Meditate.
Well, when you're talking about meditation is nothing but a deepening of thinking. So, but it's not the meditation that will help man in this instance. Because meditation, you are just deepening the thinking process. But what man needs to do is to learn to recognize his inner voice, which is the voice of the spirit, which is the reflection of the activity of his own spirit, as opposed to his intellect. So that is what man must know, recognize. Today, we human beings have been so saturated with intellectual knowledge, but we lack spiritual recognition. So what we need to do now is to recognize which one is our inner voice, our intuition, and which one is the intellect. So that is the one that can help us. All right, Maximum is calling from Uji.
Hello.
Hello, you are on.
Hey, my question. Yes, my question is, you are talking about reincarnation. How does it happen?
How does reincarnation happen? All right. Now, reincarnation is a grace given to us by the Creator, that a human being that has come into this world before is given opportunity. We human beings have been in this world for millions of years. Millions of years. It's not just thousands, but millions of years. initially coming to the world, taking over the body of the most highly developed animal, ennobling that body to become the human body, and then gradually separating into races and so on, and developing the environment and so on. We have been here many times. But because one single heart life is not sufficient for our main purpose, which is spiritual mature, we are given opportunities to come and come. So it is opportunities for us to correct our mistakes and improve ourselves. Idoko is calling from Abuja. Hello, Idoko. Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Go on.
Okay, good evening.
Good evening. Okay. Yes, good evening.
Well done. My name is Mr. Doku. I'm coming from Abuja.
Please go on with your question.
Hello?
Yeah, you are on. Go on with your question.
Okay. My question is, where is the effort has been released in the position? That's my first question. My second question is, the stress divided into how many? I want to know whether we have only one angel or many.
One angel?
The groups.
All right. Now, you want
then
to know...
There are divisions.
You want to know about amphotas? And also where Amphotas is, and also the angels. All right, listen to the radio for the response. Through the knowledge given to mankind in the great message, we now come to know of a person that is called Amphotas. Amphotas was a priest king in the lowest imitation of the great castle. The great castle is like a power transmission stage. You know, the power of the Almighty flows through the entire creation to maintain it and sustain it. But at every important stage in this transmission stage, in the transmission of the power, it must pass through what you call a great castle. The summit of that great castle is in the summit of the entire creation. But as the power is flowing down, it passes through other great castles to step it down so that souls in that particular realm are able to make use of the power for their own existence. Now, the lowest imitation of this great castle, which exists at the boundary of the material world, in the finest regions of the ethereal world, that is where this great castle is, where Amphotas was priest king. His duty was to unveil the grail, to allow the power to flow, so that those in the realms there and also those below can make use of it. But through vanity, he allowed the priestly and kingly authority to overshadow him, and for a short time, allowing the power to flow. And that was what tore Amphotas down. And to your second question about angels, they are innumerable. They are innumerable. The archangels are in the divine kingdom. And there are also angels there too. All right. Ike Ifeoluwa is calling from Ijushaga. All right. Ifeoluwa, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Good evening.
Yes, I regret that I want to ask you that you are giving a man to die once, without that death is judgment. And I want to explain to the track or the time put back.
All right. Okay. That particular statement credited to Paul that is appointed unto man to die once and after that judgment. It said that that particular statement is not properly transmitted or something else like that. But because there are all two types of death. There is a physical death and there is a spiritual death. The physical death occurs each time a man comes to this physical world and dies to reincarnate. Then he lives through an earth life, he dies, then he goes into the beyond. If he is not finished his spiritual maturity, he returns to this earth for further development. But in the judgment, when a man is found wanting in the judgment, he will undergo the second death. That is the spiritual death. That comes only once. So that is how we should understand, because spiritual death occurs only once, but physical death occurs many times each time a man comes into this world to experience. But when you examine the great message, you get clearer, you get a clear picture of how all these things come about. Now, let me just add more to the question Idoko from Abuja asked concerning the angels. Now, the archangels who are in the divine kingdom, even though they are in the divine kingdom, they cannot even look onto the countenance of the Almighty Creator. Because no creature shall see God and shall live. But the angels, including the archangels, their own duty is to transmit the will of God and broadcast it abroad. That is to say, they do not have a will of their own. They only carry out the will of the Almighty. And there are so many of them, the angels in the divine and also in the primordial spiritual realm of creation and also in the spiritual realm of creation. So they are his messengers. They spread his will. In the great division of creation, you can say that there are two types of creatures. The beings, of which angels are part of them, these ones carry out the will of God. They do not have a will of their own. They are the ones who build the house of God. Now, the tenants in this house are spirits. Spirits have ability to make a free decision, but they are bound to the consequences. So it is the Almighty and his radiation. It is out of his radiation that everything came into being, including the beings as well as the spirits. But those who weave the house and those who are permitted to shelter in the fold within the house must make this house pure. Otherwise, if they are not able to do that, they will be expelled as rebels. And that is exactly what is happening in our world today. In this part of the world where we inhabit, in the gross material world, humanity stands in the final judgment. That is why we are experiencing what we are experiencing now. All right, now let's take this text message. The first one, is fasting relevant for a Christian? Fasting helps man to concentrate his thoughts while praying. That is the effect of fasting. Nothing more than that. Through the deprivation of food and water, it brings about a change in the radiation of the body and soul, bringing about a change such that man, a slight loosening, making man to be able to concentrate his thoughts while praying. That is what fasting does. But then, you must know what. If you are fasting because you want a certain prayer to be answered, you must also understand the laws that govern prayers. When you read the great message, you find answers there. Sunday is calling from Abuja. Hello, Sunday.
Hello.
Good day. Go on, Sunday. Are you there, Sunday?
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. Go on now. Yes, we are. Go on.
My question is, as a mature man, is it a sin to have sex with your girlfriend?
Okay, that is whether you should have sexual relationship with your girlfriend. The law concerning that is that if a man and a woman do not have genuine love for themselves, if they have any sexual intercourse, whether in or out of marriage, is a sin. It is a sin against the commandment of God. That ninth commandment that says, thou shalt not lust after thy neighbor's wife. But in this case, if the condition for a close interaction between a man and a woman, relating to sexual intercourse is there must be true love between them. That's the foundation. If there is no love, even if they are married, they have gone against that law. When there is love, you know, true love is actually love of the soul. There is true love between the two. There may also set in motion a desire for a union of the two bodies, so that in the process there is a mutual exchange of radiation which leads to increase in power. But if the two persons that are uniting in this fashion are not truly in love, the consequence will be that because they are not of the same homogeneity in spiritual maturity, then the one that is lower in spiritual maturity will be a drag on the other one. And that is why it is very, very important to understand the processes. Even when a man is lusting after a woman, out of lust and not out of true love, it creates a bond between him and the woman. And if it goes so far as to a sexual intercourse, in fact, the bond is even stronger. And to break a voluntary bond is not easy. It may even require that the two may even have to reincarnate in order to disengage themselves. That is how serious all these things are. That is why it is said that the Lord is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sweat, that shall he reap. When you read the Great Message, you get a clearer picture of how all these processes take place. All right, another question from the message. It says, can one man connect another man to God? It is not possible. Each man must find his own way how to connect himself with his Creator. One man cannot do it for you. Each one must do it for himself. The only means by which man can communicate with his Creator is through prayer. Genuine, heartfelt prayer is the only means by which a man can communicate with his Creator. So if somebody is telling you, come for deliverance, you should ask him, have you delivered yourself? All right, another call from Eme in Nasarawa. Hello, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, you are on.
Hello, good evening, Mr. Speaker.
Good evening.
I'm telling from Nasarawa.
Okay, go on. Go on with your...
Yeah. This is happening, the recent happening in life, I'm against about some people. They went to hell and seen Christ, and Christ took them to hell and then showed them certain things, something happening, and then bring them back to life. Is this the same thing happened like that? Because some of the people who said this and where they bring it, when I said they didn't know Christ, they didn't know the message, and they didn't come and say, I am Christ. Because the last time he came, and when he appeared to the people in the world, he identified himself. The last person also came Paul. When he came, he didn't come to Paul as with his cap on. It was light that shone and Paul, and when Paul was on his way to Damascus, and he said, I am the Christ whom you persecute. The this time around, the people say that they saw him in his physical body and all this, and they tried him as Christ, not him, and they tried him instead. And one of my second question is, why is it recently there is this statue in Iraq, the statue of Virgin Mary, and after some time now, they say that he started bleeding and started shedding tears and tears of blood. Is it true that things like that can happen in this life that we are in?
All right, now let me answer that question. First question is, somebody said that he has been shown the regions of hell and he came back to tell about it. Well, one thing you must know is that it is possible for somebody to have what you call near-death experience, whereby actually people feel he is dead, but After a while, he came back to life. Yes, such things are possible. But the experiences he goes through may also be correct, whereby he may just be shown or he may experience what is happening in the nearer environment of the earth. If a man were able to see with his inner eye the nearer ethereal environment of this earth, even just for 5 seconds, he will lose all hope of salvation out of sheer shock, because the ethereal environment is so dark, is so dense, and is so horrible due to the evil human beings are perpetrating on earth. And that is just the reality. But the issue is that somebody can have such experience, as long as the soul is still connected with the body, he can still return to this path and then tell of his experiences. So that is that. But when you yourself examine the great mercy, you'll be able to know what is possible and what is not possible. Then, to your second question, whether a statue can be bleeding, Virgin of Mary statue bleeding, that is not possible. It's a physical object, it cannot bleed. But what is possible is that some people, especially during Easter, they start showing the signs of stigmata that was on our Lord Jesus Christ. Either they were bleeding from the hand, or bleeding from the feet, or from the scalp in the head. And unfortunately, human beings consider these people as saints. Well, they are not saints. They are actually branded souls. They are those souls that at that time, when our Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, they were those souls who were participating in the nailing. And that is why during the Easter period, they are also experiencing the pain. They are not saints, they are branded souls. Okorafo is calling from Agbado.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay. My first question is this.
Yeah?
A newborn baby comes to the world. I want to know whether he comes empty. So later he uses whatever he sees on earth as he grows to overcome challenges on earth, or does he come fulfilled already before entering the world?
Okay.
That is fulfilled, I mean, it's in the knowledge.
Okay.
Okay. That is number one. Number two. Now, this bit I always hear from intellectuals that the spiritual controls the physical. So I want you to expatiate on that.
All right. Now to your first question, whether a child comes empty or already fully loaded. Every child that is born today comes heavily burdened with karma. You know, the child may look innocent, but it's not for the first time he's coming to this physical world. There is none on earth today who has not been here several times. And the consequences of all that we have done in our thoughts and words are on the souls themselves. So as the soul is entering the beyond after death, he is carrying his burden with him. If he is given the opportunity to reincarnate, he is bringing his burden with him. So the burden is already there. But when as a child, this karma cannot come into activity until the child reaches age of maturity. That is the time the soul within the body of the child is able to connect directly with the entire world of matter, where the karma is there and manifest on him. So it's not that the child is innocent. It looks innocent, but it comes heavily burdened with karma. And when it is time, it will reap what he has sown. That is the answer to that number one question. And to your second question, that the spiritual controls the material. Yes. It is from the spiritual that the material itself came into being. the spirit forms the body, and it is power comes from above and is spiritual. So it is the spiritual that molds the physical. For example, now, when a soul is to incarnate into the growing fetus in the womb, which occurs in the middle of pregnancy, there are elemental beings who will fashion the astral cloak the soul must wear. It is when they fashion this astral cloak that the physical body then will now take on shape in accordance with that cloak they have fashioned. And they did not fashion the cloak arbitrarily. They look at the soul that is coming. They look at the karma it's carrying. They look at its parents. This soul has been attracted to. What are the karma they themselves are carrying? And fashion the cloak accordingly, in accordance with the law, in perfect justice. So everything evolves from the spiritual to the material. Everything we are seeing in the material world is a condensation of that which preceded it, which is the spiritual.
Hello.
And so we are coming gradually to the end of today's program. Let us remind our listeners of lectures coming up in September, 14th of September, venue of lecture, Grace Center, 129B, Akomojo, Rukwara bus stop. Topic: This Tumultuous World, What Lies Behind It? And also, the same 14th of September, venue of lecture, Continuous Education Center, Lecture Hall, University of Nigeria, Nsukka. And also, 14th of September, venue of lecture, Town Hall in Okaki, River State. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. At the lectures, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now, let's announce our website, www.truthofliferadio.com. Email, info@truthofliferadio.com. Telephone numbers, 0705-298-0298 or 0803-315-7493. Until we meet next Sunday, I am Dr. Tunde Agboola, wishing you good evening.